This is Angel Connect, the podcast series, episode number 14. Hall Martin interviews Thomas Williams about investing in consumer goods and in restaurants. In this episode of the Angel Connect podcast show, Hall Martin is interviewing Thomas Williams. Now, Thomas Williams is very much into investing into consumer products, goods, as well as restaurants. Currently, he has invested into microbreweries such as the Zilker Brewing Company in Austin. The important thing is that Mr. Williams tries to make sure that his team, the one he's going to be funding, has all the tools needed for success. He also tries to expect a quicker ROI, especially in the first couple of years with the restaurants and the brewing business. In structuring deals, he tries to make sure that they are quick to get off the ground, quick in the time to open. And he also looks for a percentage of the interest owned. And he plans to do about 3 to 5 deals in this particular environment because he wants to actually invest locally in startups. He also brings to the table more than just money for the startups. You'll hear about that in the interview. And he uses this to create strategies. Strategies for pairing food with beer and other things. So sit back and listen to this particular interview. It's a very brief one as Hall Martin talks to Thomas Williams about investing in consumer product goods and in restaurants. So let's listen in.
Well, hello, Thomas. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Oh, good, good. So this is Hall Martin. I'm with the Angel Connect program. We're here with Thomas Williams today to talk about investing in consumer product goods and restaurants. Thomas, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Hall. I really appreciate the time.
Great, great. Well, you've invested in a number of deals. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the recent investments you made? And then we'll talk a little bit more about why you chose to invest in them and what you look for in an investment of those kinds.
Yes, sir. The most recent investments I've made are in Zilker Brewing Company here out of Austin. And that's their brewery. And they're going to be the most centrally located brewery in Austin. Doors soon to be open. And the other is a restaurant deal in Dallas, Lower Greenville area, Haymaker 2. It's just a restaurant from here, a successful location, Haymaker in Austin.
And when you make investments in microbreweries and restaurants, what's your criteria? What are you looking for when you go look at these deals?
Well, first, I want to always make sure that the team that's established right there has the tools at their hands to succeed in what they're trying to go for, as well as I would like to have a quicker return on my investment. And given that there are high-risk deals, they do have a tendency to have quick returns, especially with restaurants in the first 2 years, if they can get off the ground quick.
Well, how do you structure those deals? And another question is, how fast do they have to get off the ground before you want to get involved with one?
Yes, sir. That was one of my main questions when I spoke to the Haymaker Group at first. They are a subsidiary of ASOMAP, and I was just introing the 4 Class A members of ASOMAP, which is the parent company. Keith Sandell, Brian Pacheco, Troy Moore, and Troy Nelson. The 2 Troys are a little bit more business-minded. Brian kind of handles a lot more of the startup efforts, and Keith is like the day-to-day manager. Took them about 9 months after everything got underway here in Austin with the original Haymaker, and they're expecting a much quicker turnaround with Haymaker 2 in Dallas just because the permit processing has been a lot better, and there's not as been many holdups in the location that they have gotten there in Dallas.
So aside from time to open, what else do you look for?
Percent interest owned. Just because I keep my investments right now at $25,000, which is pretty typical minimum, and it's a 0.833% interest, so 5/6, and they're seeking $1.2 million with the potential to seek an extra $300,000 if necessary, which is looking highly unlikely at this point.
Okay. So you've got a very specific structure you put in there. Can you tell us more about how that structure works?
Unfortunately, I'm just beginning all this angel investing, so I'm kind of just looking for as close as I can to get about 1% and just try to maximize my minimal investment everywhere I can.
Great. So how many deals do you plan to do in this
structure? In this structure, maybe around 3 to 5, because I'd like to start investing more. Soon I'm going to have a little bit more income and capital in the upcoming years to finally do some more sizable investments here in the Austin area, preferably.
You like to invest locally. What do you see as the advantage of that?
You just kind of have a little bit more hands-on feel with the team involved. You can kind of see the turnaround immediately rather than having to wait for any press or other hearsay, as well as you can go check on the progress of the build and progress of whatever, you know, might be going on at any one day, whether it be permitting, construction, or other, you know, brewing right now.
Okay. And do you like to support the local community? Is that a factor?
Yes, sir. I moved to Austin in 2008 for college and been down here and just found it very homely ever since and wanted to help out in any way you can, whether it be time invested with community service or my favorite option, investing in local startups.
Great. So when you join as an investor, what do you offer or bring to them aside from the money? Is there anything else you can bring to these guys?
I don't have any expertise particularly in the areas besides that I prefer beer, of course, but I do have tend to provide them with an insight into the younger demographic, and I know Zilker Brewing has really attached to that because they tend to ask me some questions, you know, what the 20 to 25 age group, what kind of beers they're drinking. So I can really give them that insight that a lot of other angel investors who tend to be, you know, in their 30s or older can't quite give anymore.
I see. And, of course, the new generation is a foodie generation. What do you see out there? What do you think the millennials are really into these days that people should invest in?
Craft anything. They're getting craft food, craft sandwiches, which is Haymaker's specialty. And, of course, craft beer is the big thing. People are tending to care a lot more about what they put in their body, whether that just be for health concerns or taste concerns. They tend to finally want to know what's been going in and what the processes are and the production of that food or drink. And when you see that now, there's becoming a lot more interesting deals about pairing beer with food, which wasn't so traditional, and just new concepts such as the Haymaker as well, which are really unfamiliar to the territory.
Okay. Well, what did you find interesting about the Haymaker model? What drew you to it?
They're a family-oriented restaurant. They like to call themselves a neighborhood bar, which is spot on, very welcoming, beer garden setting. Then at the same time, they welcome sports groups. So you can have your private events there. You can do anything like that. There's local soccer groups that meet every week 2 to 3 times, depending on the schedules. They've got a craft sandwich menu that's unlike anything else around here. Because it's much more northern inspired, they've got a poutine, which has kind of put that a little bit on the map in the Austin area recently, which is a Canadian-inspired dish made of French fries, gravy, and cheese curds. Of course, they've got 40 taps going in the Haymaker 2 in Dallas, and more than that here in Austin. And they have a large emphasis on local sourcing and local craft beer, but they also like to source as many other craft beers that are great from across the country and world as they can.
Well, certainly it's a trend toward natural food and artisanal beers and, you know, taking it to the next level. It's great to see people giving a thought and concern to these new styles, and certainly it's a great, you know, great tasting product that most of these groups are coming up with, and a lot of money is going into it, and it's turning out to be a very, very attractive investment space as well.
It just also allows this at the same time allows for higher margins and higher costs because the quality of the ingredients put in and the time to produce the product.
Right. So it's certainly a good thing to have there as well. Any final thoughts about investing in this space that you want to share? Any lessons learned you've had so far about it?
So far, lessons learned is there's always going to be delays, especially in these brewery and restaurant startups where they've got to build out the space. There's always going to be delays, whether it be permitting, unforeseen building issues, unforeseen plumbing issues that have happened. Parking is always key, especially in these urban areas.
I understand. It always takes longer than expected to get businesses up and running, and so it's to be expected. Well, very good. Well, thank you for taking time. Appreciate your giving us your insight and your wisdom for investing in these deals.
Yes, sir, Hall. I appreciate your time, and thank you for the call.
All right. Thank you, guys. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.